Chair reports.
Sorry, sorry.
Yeah, let me start the meeting. So
Okay.
it'll take,
Sorry.
yeah. Okay, at 6:06, call the meeting to order. Everyone signed in, right? And yeah, everybody who knows the rules of conduct, everybody's been here before. We read them, so we won't go through those. And I'll read the agenda in full first, and then we'll start with the agenda. Okay, we're going to open with the zoning board meeting. So we're going to have a motion to start a zoning board adjustment meeting now.
I move we start a zoning board of adjustment meeting.
Second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so now we'll go into zoning and we'll start with.
Okay, I'm Mary Butchie, and I'm
Mary
a
Bush.
visitor in the town of Westmore, and it's my job to go out and assess properties. So I'm on the last person to see the property once it's or the new building or the new whatever's going on. So I'm the one that catches the violations.
Now this is after they've built, this is
After
what.
they've built, or sometimes during, because we have to assess at April 1st.
Okay.
So, of course, being Westmore in Winfield, a lot of people don't have their project finished on April 1st.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that violates, I'm the one that violates them. We send them, Andy and I send them a letter saying you have 30 days to come in compliance, otherwise you get a letter state
I
of
thought it was 7 days.
huh? It's
I thought
probably
it was,
supposed to be 7 days, but we give them
yeah.
30 days,
Okay. All right. Fine. Yeah.
I'll make a note of that though. And I guess if the violation was really bad, probably that would be the case. But
Yeah.
anyway,
They're
and they
polluting the lake blatantly or something. You
yeah,
better.
right. Actually, I have told someone one time that they had to stop, but that was totally my mistake.
Yeah.
So it was funny. So anyway, so and we tell them that they have or then they'll get a letter, and it's a fine of what, $200 or $250 a day.
That's it's up to, I think, so you can do whatever you want, up to that amount.
Yeah, it's two.
Yeah.
I have the letter. I should have
Yeah.
brought it actually. So $200 a day. So generally they come in and get a file for a variance, and then they go to a variance meeting, and then they are told, this is what you have to do to comply,
Right.
and they comply. Well, of late I've been getting people saying, I don't want you on my property until I've finished. And I know that person is violating. And there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't think that people are really taking it seriously, because we do kind of let them get away with, okay, their house is 6 feet, or 6 feet bigger than the plans were, or we don't have a building zoning. We don't do building permits. We do just zoning permits. So as long as they're not encroaching on the neighbor's property around the shoreline, we say, okay, and I was telling Bob this earlier. So industry standards for the lister is 3 feet, 3 feet give or take. You can't you get you're gonna be with you're gonna make a 3 foot mistake somewhere. It's just one of those things. So anyway, I have came to the board today to request that we do something more stringent, because the violations are getting worse and worse and worse, and they're affecting our view. They're affecting the lake. They're affecting our neighbors. They're affecting the people that live here. They're affecting everybody. Everybody's getting upset about it. They're seeing these huge, nice houses being built, and they're kind of encroaching on, just the visual is encroaching on people's privacy, or people's what do I want to say? Their image of Westmore. And so I think we just need to get more stringent on those violations. And then we can violate them, and we can give them a $500 fine. Who's going to collect it and who's going to enforce it? We have nobody to do that. I know I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to somebody and say, you got to pay the town $500. I mean, that's, you
Well,
know.
this, yeah, that came up with the select board meeting was that, we've had a couple of cases that were, the permit that they filed for, they had misleading or false information on it. And, they went and did the building. They got a permit. They did the building. And then we saw that the, they were way off.
Right.
But the problem came into it was they were given a permit. And, if they get a permit and then they violate it, then, we get it. But in this case, they built the whole thing, which took months. And then when they were done, you got the violation. They built a stairway there after.
I
Was
was
not a
waiting.
permit.
I
It
was
was done
waiting for the
after.
violation, and I found out it.
Yeah,
But
so we went down there and we had a hearing and stuff, but the problem was it was hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of building going on there. And if we and they had a permit, which kind of throws it off for
right.
court.
They got a permit, but it
There were
so
some mistakes made
it
on
was
the
a
permit.
mistake.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often,
No,
but
it
it does
doesn't. It
happen, of course.
doesn't. But the point was that the town, if we stick with a violation, then
Right.
they're going to take us to court, and they because they're not for,
Right.
$500 shed, they're not. But for a couple hundred thousand dollar building, we're going to
Right.
go to court, and
Right.
they're going to fight hard, and
Right.
it's going to cost the
Cost
town
the
its
town money,
fortune.
is it worth it? So
And is it worth? That's the thing. That's the problem.
basically, and I know I am not speaking for Andy, but I think if Andy was here, he'd say, well, why have zoning at all?
Yeah.
You know. Why have zoning at all? So, and I mean, my only thought would be now they do now the permit cost has gone up and the variance costs have gone up, so that's good. But my only thought would be the other. I mean, to do nothing, to keep it at status quo, and people keep their eyes open more for early violations. My only other thought that I can think of is to slap a violation on them. That's going to mean something. It's $500 or $600, and you just get violated. You get a violation, and before you can file that variance, you have to pay the violation to get a variance hearing, even to get a hearing. And I'm just thinking that would make people say, tell your neighbors, if you get violated, it's not going to cost you $150 for a variance. It's going to cost you $650 for that variance. And some people won't care.
Yeah, well, the other problem is too, if it comes to us for a variance, it doesn't mean they're going to get a variance.
Well, let's see. Well, no,
If they're a
right.
violation and
Right.
then we find out that, they're 20 feet into a setback,
Right.
then, we can't, I don't, we can't give them a variance for that. Because that's otherwise, the thing I always quote is that
Well, then
if we
it's
do it for one person,
yeah.
everybody has to be treated equally, so everybody has to be treated that way.
Yes. And then you have the per day violation. You have the per day cost. I think it's whatever it is, $200. I'm
It
sorry, I didn't
could
write
be,
that.
yeah.
Whatever it is, a $200 violation per day. And you generally end up in court battle. So
Yeah, I mean that's
there was one person that they made take the building down, and we didn't get violation. I was just speaking for you.
It's okay. I'll leave it a message.
I know. I said all day long. I said I got to call Andy and remind him about the meeting tonight. And I knew when you got here, I blamed it on me. I said I never.
I'm sure. I could be.
I never heard of it.
Good.
So I went over my.
Good.
If we're not serious,
Good.
if we're not serious, don't do something serious. People are going to get violated. And if we don't do anything, I know what Andy will say. He'll say, "Why have his owning anyway?"
Well, that's the thing that it won't be talked about was, the town doesn't want to have a huge court battle going on. when there's a lot of money involved. So, and that's, if they do a $200,000 project and they're in violation, and then we say, you got to fix it, then they're going to take us, they don't want to take it down, so they're gonna fight us. That's what the select board's thinking,
Well,
and then
and
how do we enforce them?
where does that put zoning?
Well, we don't get involved until we get the hearing for a variance, I mean, if you find a violation and then you say, and then they say, well, in order to get this, you have to get a variance
If
to
I
make a
find a
permit.
violation, it's usually because they haven't applied for a permit. It's not where they
Okay.
I find
apply for.
violations. I find the
You find the
violations
violation.
that where they've built and they've built, they've encroached or gone way over the size they said.
Yeah, now I can't quote it exactly. I used to be able to, but it was if they do a building, if they start a building or they're building a building before they have a permit, it's not a real big deal. They
No,
have like
no.
30 days or 7 days to get a permit, right?
And I will do everything in my power, and Mary will too, to get them to get a permit.
Yeah,
But what
because
happens if they refuse?
well, see, I don't know.
Well,
Yeah.
that's just the point.
Yeah,
That's the
that
point.
in other
Yeah.
words, people can build
So
without a
we
permit.
send them a letter saying you need a permit, you need a permit. Nothing happens. Issue them a notice of violation. If you don't do it within what 15 days, I think it says, or
Right.
whatever,
Bob said it was
Seven days, yeah,
7 days,
seven days,
it's
yeah.
$200 a day.
Well,
Is there
the
anybody who's going to back that up? Who's going to say, okay, this is what we're going to go after?
yeah.
I mean, if the select board is going to say we don't want to get involved, then nobody needs to get a permit.
One of the recourses that I think, well, ultimately this would affect the landowner if they ever chose to try to sell the property and the property was encumbered because they never got the right permits. So a title attorney would find some flaw with their deed or their per not having the appropriate permits. I mean, unfortunately, that's like
And you can find
that.
$200 a day for 8 years.
Sure.
Well, that's what people, that's, we had this happen once. A guy
But
violated on the waterfront, and we said, you're in violation. He said, I'm not doing it, screw you. And he just stayed there and said, you can just take the property when I leave.
yeah,
I
I
mean,
think
that was his deal. Yeah.
one of the differences between a variance and a conditional use is that conditional use is something that maybe it doesn't quite conform with the zoning bylaws, but there's certain conditions that we can kind of grant the authority to proceed with the project. A variance, in my from what I always understood, was like the last tool in the toolbox, and it's only due to a very unusual property configuration, property size. Like the variances should only be granted in very unique and unusual circumstances. That's what I've
Well,
always
they have the
heard.
five criteria that we have to meet,
Right.
and
Yeah.
is it the least offensive of possible building things, and it has to, if is there an unusual,
Right. What's the minimum condition
like
or
somebody's on the water and they get solid rock on the one side and they have a small spot where they can go out, then it's 4 feet or 3 feet, so that's the type of thing variance. But most people come to us and they say, I want to put it over there because it looks better. We say,
Right.
so that's,
Yeah, or it's a matter of convenience, right? Yeah. It's not really a matter of the lot size dimensions or something like that that really makes that project more unique. But it seems like we have a little more flexibility as a zoning board. As a zoning board, if we're getting the permit denial and we're looking to issue a conditional use determination versus if we're actually being asked to do a variance, right? Because that's usually like where things get much more complicated, and we have more discretion to deny that as a zoning board, as I understand it.
What's that? You mean
A
a variant?
variance, yeah, that they should only be variances should only be used in those very unique situations.
Well, what happens if you, as a zoning board, deny them and they do it anyway?
Well, then we give it to you.
Yeah.
Then we give it to you.
And I
Okay.
give it
That's
back
where
to
the
you with the
with a
with the.
variance to get a variance.
With, well, no, if they go for a variance and you turn them down and they do it anyway, okay, I issue a notice of violation, $200 a day. Who backs that up?
Well, that's the yeah, that's the
That
problem.
that's
Yeah,
where we're at.
that's the problem.
And if word gets out, public word gets out that we don't back up our zoning,
Yeah.
people are going to say, "Screw it! Why get a zoning permit?"
Yeah.
And that's why I brought this up at this point, because I'm on the front lines and I'm seeing it more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying it, that we got to send a message that's serious enough for them to say, all right, maybe that's not a really good idea.
Well, if the town is, issuing a ongoing fine, I mean, can't that be levied over
But
time?
that fine is issued
It could be levied.
through you guys
Yeah.
and the select board.
Well, the select board does fines. We basically we have nothing to do with money.
So it goes to the select
So it goes
board.
to the select
They've got
board.
to go to the environmental court to get an enforcement for it. And I don't see where they're willing to do that.
No, I that you know, I'm wondering if we could check this out is can you put a lien on the property?
Right, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's why I just thought of
That's what I
that
was
because you
saying.
were talking about it. Yeah.
Put a lien on the
Put a
property.
lien on the property.
Yeah.
And so then they'd have to go to court to get the lien taken off their property. Because legally you can do that
Yeah,
because
right.
they owe you money.
Okay, can you do it legally?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you can. If you have
yeah,
that written,
yeah.
into, we have our written into our,
Who does that?
I
The
don't know if it's
select
a
board?
bylaw or an
Yeah.
ordinance, but as long as we
I
have
think
that codified
we'll do.
in,
Yeah. Yeah.
in our town regulations,
We
then
just
that
issue
should it should
that.
translate into transfer into a lien if that
Yeah. Yeah.
what how that goes,
I mean that may be we'll have to check it out legally because BLCT can help
Yeah,
us
I from my standpoint, I'd like a process.
Yeah.
If we
Yeah.
come up with a process and a procedure how to go about doing it, then we can say we'll see what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think we have a lot of choices, but putting a lien on the property may be our best choice. So, yeah, I think VLCT must. I mean, they could run into this all the time with, I know big towns.
Sure, yeah.
You're in Burlington or something. You do that, they tear your building down. I mean, they
Yeah.
don't care.
Well,
But
and that's what Act 250 will do. It'll, somebody built a mansion above 2,500 feet without getting an Act 250 permit, and they were required to demolish the building
yeah,
and renaturalize the site.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, that's Act
Well, that's
250.
yeah. I found that are out a lot of times when we run into trouble. People want to do this and they don't do that. And I'm looking at our bylaws. I'm thinking they don't really cover that well. Is I've often just gone to the state. Like the good example is somebody had a boathouse and wanted to put a second floor on it. And we say it can increase by 50%, but it was on water. So that's out of our
It was over the
jurisdiction. It
water.
was over the water.
Right.
Yeah. So the state came in and said, you can't add on to a boat. So,
Yeah.
I have a few things for that with the water, distance from the water and that kind of thing. And, we don't, our bylaws may let it go, but the state comes in and they shut it down. So.
I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and the philosophy has always been to help out whoever is building something to get it to work. We want it to work.
Well, we try
We're
to do that.
not the
Yeah.
police,
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but there are situations where people are just not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we always try to find another spot. Well, can you just
Sure.
slide it down
Yeah.
this way a little
Yeah.
better? Come over here a little or do that, and sometimes they can do it, sometimes they can't.
Right.
I think, our biggest problem, and it's one of the most prominent things now is people building on the lake. They're too close to the water and they want to put an addition on and they don't have an inch on their property they haven't already used. It's like, how can I put something there? And that often the state can get involved because they're not far enough away from the water. We have one of our problems too is that we have allowed people to put additions on houses. And although they're not far enough away from the property line, we've allowed it in the past. If it doesn't make the violation worse, then they're allowed to
Yeah.
do it. So once we did that, now we have, that's our policy now. So that's why you have to be careful, because once you do it, that's the law now.
But
So
it's not an it's not a policy that's established somewhere in our regulations or bylaws. I mean, I think that's what you're saying, that we made a decision that sort of set precedent. I mean, it might be an informal policy that, as long as you're not encroaching further into a, if your
a violation.
cabin already is in the setback,
Yeah.
you know, or you extended it before setback rules took effect or something like that. As long as what you're doing is not
Make
further
it
encroaching into
right,
the side, right? I think that's what,
that's what we've done in the past. Now, see,
that makes
sometimes
sense. I mean,
some people say that they're making it worse because they're making it bigger, you know, which is, you know, reasonable. But, you know, because we've ruled that way in the past, we can't, we'd have to rewrite the law by law to say you have to limit it to the footprint of the building. You can't go any further.
So, Mary, as a lister, you get all the permits, and at some point in time, you go and inspect them to
Right.
measure it up and reassess whatever they do.
Yep. That's one of our
And
main things.
sometimes you find violations there.
That's when I find the violation.
And do you ever find that people didn't get a permit, period, when you do the.
No, those are usually spotted by somebody driving by, or me driving by, or Andy driving by, or Andy following a tiny house into the town. And then we just go check it out. And when I'm assessing at the time of year I'm going and doing site visits, I oftentimes find a lot. I mean, like last year, or this year, I found a deck in a garage.
Not permitted.
Nope.
New construction.
Nope, been there a long time.
Oh.
Yep, just happened to, I had to go over in back of someone's house, and I looked over at the neighboring house and said, "Huh, well, that's a new deck." I haven't seen that, So, and the garage might have been permitted, but it was there so long I couldn't ask them. The people, I don't even know if the same people owned it. So I couldn't very well say, "You need a permit for that garage," because I just assessed it and left it at that. It wasn't violating any zoning,
By law.
It could have been built before we had zoning, I don't know. So I didn't even ask. I just left it at that. I said, "Okay, well, that needs to be assessed," and they didn't argue that when their assessment went up because of that garage. So.
Well, I've seen some stuff, you know, that people have built on that I know it's in violation, but I am not comfortable in getting involved at all in turning somebody in or being a police of any kind, because it's going to come to us. And that's like the ex parte communication, you know.
Right,
Like,
yeah.
I'm involved already, you know. So do I have to recuse myself from the thing because I'm the one that turned it in, you know? So
So
I
it's a
just.
good idea not to find your neighbors to, not to rat on your
Well,
neighbors.
Well, but and there's a lot of stuff that obviously we're so close to, a lot of our camps and everything is so close to the water that state jurisdiction also can, take precedent in terms of, if
Water stuff,
the
they're,
shoreline permit wasn't, received, or shoreline encroachment, whatever, the 100 feet versus 250 feet, I think, right? But the state would certainly get involved if there's been a something built within that zone. I mean, our bylaws apply, but the state doesn't.
Say that take supersede.
Yeah, well, we say in our letters to you've got to go to the state to make sure you've got all your permits. And shoreline is 250 feet.
To build it all now, is that what it is? 250 feet for any new
And
construction?
it's 100 foot for the vegetative disturbance, I think.
For there, for this, for
For
us,
that. For
250 feet.
us, yeah, right. But for the state, it's 100, and then it's anything built within 250 feet, right? Of It's
Yeah, but that's where, I just tell people they might want to talk to the state about it because I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to get involved in Act 250. I don't want to get involved
Poorly in
in
encroachment.
shoreline because otherwise they take what we say as the law and we have no
Ain't be
right.
sad.
Well, right.
Yeah. It comes back to bite you. You
Yeah.
cannot,
Yeah.
you cannot even give them suggestions.
Yeah.
Was
Listen
that the
to me.
state you talked
Talk
about?
to the state. Once again, I'll repeat, talk to the state,
Yeah, we do that with all septic stuff too. It's, can't get involved in it. So, do you think we should talk to the select board to see about liens on properties? Just as, it was a
Yeah, I
big
think if we
deterrent.
don't have some type of stick, then, I don't. I agree. What's the point of, it's really hard to, get those folks that just are simply not going to abide by any of the town rules, unless we have, some sort of recourse. Obviously, you use that as a worst case scenario in the event that, you have somebody who's just very unwilling
And
and.
we could reword the notice of violation and say, yeah, it's $200 a day. And if you don't pay that, we will put a lien on your property.
That would be a pretty big stick.
And that takes it from them.
Who would write that? Who would write that? The select board or the planning board? Zoning board?
Now the select
Or
board would have
you?
to do it because we don't deal with money. So, yeah, we don't put violations on, and
They
we
talk to VLCT, I'm sure, and get some boilerplate stuff that they've got.
basically what we're here for is just have hearings on permits. So if you need a permit, if you have a violation, you need a variance, we'll run the hearing, but we don't get involved. The money at all. The select board, that we're appointed by the select board.
So
So
that's what you're suggesting, Andy, that they ask the select board to put that on
yeah, well, I
yeah
think, yeah,
as a statement.
we have a notice of violation,
Yes.
okay? And I'm not sure where it originally came from, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, to change that and add it to that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one that's been historically here the longest than anybody that's been here. You can, I thought that this happens years ago, that there was a process. I
Well, when
mean,
I all right, and since you bring it up, I will tell you right now, when I took the job, I was told that the select board would back up anything we do.
yes, that's true.
Okay.
I heard that too.
And that's what I was told when I took the job.
Yeah.
I'm finding out that that's not necessarily the case.
Well, most of
But
those select board members are dead.
what I meant was there was a time where it was enforced and people were fined,
Yes.
and that's in my memory, like 30, 40 years ago.
Right down here at
That's right.
with the garage down here.
That's right.
I mean, the town paid some money for that. The law, legal fees and everything. Never questioned it whatsoever. I'm not sure that would happen today. That's why I'm sitting here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And fines weren't paid. They were given but not paid, right? You don't know
We don't
about
want to
it.
collect the fines. We just want the problem solved.
I'm not asking that. I was just wondering if you had knowledge if fines were
I have no
paid.
idea. I have no
Okay.
idea. I have no idea. But again, let me just restate that was not the whole idea of zoning to make money, though Mr. Zimmer may question that.
Now,
It was there to keep people from
on
doing nasty things they like, okay, and to help them, not to. That's it.
right. Anything else to add, anybody, or okay.
Bob, I have my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Yeah, Donna, go ahead.
Just trying to think ahead and maybe skirting that issue so that it doesn't fall on Andy and Mary so much with the state, with the townwide assessment coming up. Could that set a new base? So in other words, the townwide assessment would determine the new starting point for that property, for that building. So if someone is outside of what they said it is, wouldn't the townwide assessment catch that?
I'm not too sure what you mean.
Well, we hired an outside firm
To come in and do assessments.
to do our
Okay.
townwide assessment. And so I'm just saying, rather than worry about the next 2 years, whenever they get here, let's do the starting point from then, from when the townwide assessment says, okay, this is what I saw or whatever, and this is the starting point. So the person gets taxed on what. So if the house was built bigger than it was, than the permit said, you'll catch it with that townwide assessment. I'm just asking that question. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be.
That's not going to happen. They're not enforcers. They're not gonna. They're gonna come in. They're
The
gonna set.
appraisers aren't gonna
Yeah,
they're not gonna look at any
enforce
permits or
that.
anything that
Yeah,
were done.
and they will. You're right on the score that they'll start at base. They'll make a base level to start from, but it will be a base level to start from. It won't have anything to do with the. Well, it will have little to do with the last assessment. The market is different. The housing is different.
No,
Everything.
I maybe I didn't make it clear. What I'm saying is, so the person, whatever the property, the land and the building and that, it gets assessed from that point forward. So it goes away from Andy's and Mary's hands as a zoning board administrator. It starts with, in other words, their assessment will be higher. Their tax assessment will be higher. And then you go from that property card forward. So you don't have to worry about, oh, what did they break, whatever. So the townwide assessment, I mean, you're the one that hired them. So are they gonna, they don't have to be let on properties, but are they gonna not only do property cards, but they're gonna have the property card and actually like maybe stand on the street and say, does this match it? And you can eyeball it if it's quite a bit off. So I'm just asking how you, what you, what are you gonna expect from this townwide assessment, the people that you hired? And will that, because that would higher your tax base if the building is larger than it says it is. Because right now they would only be getting taxed on what the building permit said.
No, that's not necessarily true, Donna. That they'll they the new assessment will go on what is there, not what was supposed to be there or what was there in the past. It will be a fresh assessment.
If there's a dramatic difference between the first assessment out of the ordinary of the new assessments, in other words, this one's up 10%,
Yeah.
20%, 15%, one's up 60%, would that trigger any kind of investigation into
Yeah, it
why
would
is this
make
so high?
make you look twice, and probably there would be
Because when it
reviewers
was
involved.
when it was assessed
Yeah.
first, something changed dramatically
Yep.
since the second assessment.
Yeah.
So something could trigger some kind of investigation. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we're set.
Are
Yeah.
we adjourned? Point of clarification, Mr. Chair? If I may be out of order, Chris from Newport Daily, could you just explain, maybe briefly, just what brought us here tonight?
What brought us here?
Yeah.
Mary Bushy, our lister and assistant zoning administrator, has noticed that she's seeing a lot of violations. And I think you can tell the story about not being allowed on the property.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have a few people that I as April 1st, I have to assess this as of April 1st that they're in the process of building, and I have people telling me now I don't want you on my property until the building's finished, and my guess, and it's only a guess, and it might not be true. My guess is they know if they built, they're violating. They built bigger than they said they would, or they've moved the building, or whatever the case may be. They know that they're only going to have to go and get a variance or conditional use, and so they're willing to take their chance. So my whole thought was that we need to like kind of do them more than slap them and say, okay, you know, you're going to get in trouble for doing this. So they take it more seriously. They take the process more seriously.
And I think, the word might be around that in the past we haven't taken buildings down. So
Yep.
there, that's the
Yeah, don't worry.
property.
They'll just send you for a variance.
But looking at the property is probably good.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I think I missed a word, I think. May I ask her? You said you had to go on the property to do an assessment. I didn't quite catch what you said that you had to do by April 1st.
I have to reassess, not the whole town, but I have to finish all the assessments by April 1st, because that's when they close for 20, the last for 20, well, they call it 2026, but it closes as of April 1st, 2026, for the 2026, and then I launch the grand list.
Gotcha. I mean, I'm sorry, your title is?
I'm Lister,
Thank
and I'm an assistant zoning administrator as well.
thank you, boys.
Okay.
We have one more thing with us, so
Hey, yeah.
what's that?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, well, we can start the planning meeting now. And
Done. So I'll be done.
Sorry.
I'll be done.
We're done.
Yeah.
Thank you. I hope we didn't get
Well,
something.
we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah.
So, you'll. Are you going to put it on the agenda for the next?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put it on the select board agenda.
I have a question for you, Andy, but I'm going to send it
Thank
to you in
you.
an email. I have a question for you, but I'm going to send it to you in an email.
Okay. No problem.
Don't, you might want to
Thank
put it
you.
on for the,
Yeah, I
not the
just
date
happened
to
to walk
assess. It's
in and
Monday.
check my messages.
Not sure when we'll be back.
All day long,
Yeah.
it's starting up a
Well,
week from
yeah, I'll
today.
put it the next morning. Make it to yeah. Okay,
Okay.
so we'll start the planning meeting, and our agenda is discussion town plan update process, NBPA. They actually think the most important thing they want done right now is for us to have a survey and get that into them.
Say,
So
say, you say they get done.
I got grievances going on.
NBDA.
Okay,
NBDA. NBDA.
NBDA is asking you to do what?
This is for the town plan update. And they say, one important thing for us to get done before we go into the process is to finish the town survey we had proposed. So, we've been working on questions, and not easy to come up with good questions. I've gotten suggestions, and I've done a lot of research, and I have other towns, but we're kind of unique with the big lake and no town center. It makes it difficult because housing is a big issue right now because of 181 and other things. And but we're also, the area is changing so dramatically. It's turn my phone off. That we have to look at ways to fulfill our housing quotas that they're setting. And we have to figure out ways to do it so they're not all short-term rentals. So that's why we came up with the idea of farms. And that the Vermont Land Link out of UVM is an excellent source for that. And I've sent them an email recently. I haven't heard, but I have a couple names. I'm going to try everybody. What they do is the Land Link takes existing land that is still viable but not being farmed anymore, which is we got lots of that stuff. So they make an arrangement for tax with taxes and breaks and stuff to get the landowner to lease land to would-be farmers. So that was my main thrust to try to get more housing.
What's the premise behind that there's lots of land that's in ag that's not being used anymore?
Well, there's a couple of examples. One is like the Mallory place that we dealt with. They have 78 acres. They used to do a lot of, I'd say, homesteading farming type of thing. They had barns and they had animals, and they don't do it anymore. They just
They don't hay that?
might hay it, might hay some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a possibility. The other one is, I mean, one thing I brought up was our designated town center is basically about 80% of the Willoughby Farm land, limited trust,
Well, this but
family
this is
trust.
not and this is not an approved deal
I
yet,
know
right?
it isn't, but it's like that's what the NVDA puts as the center of our town, just because of where we are. Yeah. But both of these pieces of land that are we consider the town, the church and the buildings here, the town center, were donated by Willoughby Lake Farm. And the rest of the 178 acres is used to be farmed, but it's not anymore. So, and it's in the family trust, and they're worried about paying taxes again. And it's like they say, what happens with these lands? They go into a family trust, and then
Or some of them are probably in use value appraisal, I would imagine. A lot of that
they could
acreage
do.
probably is.
Yeah, and that's what the land link
And
people work with.
that does require that you maintain a forest management plan, unless it's ag land that's in use value appraisal, which it could be. But if it's woodlot, then you have to adhere to a forest management plan. So some of those larger landowners, Dottolis, obviously, but a lot of folks, still have productive lands that and they could be used for agricultural purposes.
Agroforestry, yeah.
A lot of them are in UVA, I would think.
Well, that's what we got to do. I mean, the other places are, Burton Hinton. I mean, he used to farmer's land. He doesn't anymore.
Yeah, the coals.
The Coles, they have lots of land. You go across your side of the river, you get up, was it the Luddicks or the Luddicks?
Well, that all that land
Good, I
in
think.
Vermont Land Trust, that is all being hayed though. I mean, they hay all that for their cows. That's still pretty
But there's
actively
more,
used.
like, I know on either side of the Mallorys are two huge pieces of land that nobody's doing anything with, as far as I know. I mean,
Think they're still being
the
hayed.
Amish just bought some land up there too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Who's
And
that?
the Amish,
Oh.
it's a big family up there that basically revitalized like
The
an old farm, and that's, So I think it would be worth it to look into these places because we have, I mean, if you don't mow it or hay it or graze it, there's a forest. So,
Right, and that's why, a lot of it you can see is still open. So, I mean, it must
yeah, because it's
be,
being hayed.
it's being hayed or somebody occasionally brush hogs it, maybe. But it's still, somebody's doing something with that land out there. A lot of it's still open.
See, this is the stories that I hear are like if with the Willoughby Farm Trust, it goes down a generation, and then they don't do anything, but it's their land. They don't want to give it up because it's a family land, and it's got history, and it's got important to them. But then they run into money problems, and the next generation comes along, and they don't want it anymore. So they're going to sell it, and who are they going to sell it to? That's what we're worried about. A developer. They want to get the most money, and so. That's what I'm thinking. We got to try to avoid if possible.
There's a lot of land that continues to be subdivided, but it's not being subdivided at a pace that would trigger Act 250. Like we would know right away
Oh yeah,
if
yeah. No, it
somebody was
hasn't
coming
happened
in
yet, but
to
it's,
buy up, and yeah, that could happen.
yeah.
Buy up a parcel and subdivide it into five or more lots, in which case you would invoke Act 250,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. We're a 5 lot. Place. Some places are 10 lots, I guess, but it's
Well,
not.
no, Act 250, if you subdivide your property into five or more lots, you trigger Act 250.
You do.
Yeah, that's not a town thing.
Very good. That's one thing. And the other thing is, we get a lot of any kind of development at all gets a real big backlash. You know, I'm going to put something up here. You want to put a store in here. You want to open up a wedding barn. You don't want to do this. There's a huge fight we're going to come up to. So, and I think as planning commission, we really got to know what the town really wants. You know, I mean, that's what this new writing the new thing is. What do the people of Westmore see as a future of Westmore? And that's what I want the questions to reflect, you know. So we're not making that choice. The town is, you know. And that's of course what NVDA wants too, when they're helping us with the thing is to, you know, get a pulse of the town. So when we write the new town plan, we won't be doing on you know, the thoughts of a few people. I, you know, one of the things I saw when I'm reading the town plan, it was the questions they asked in the last survey. I wrote them down somewhere. Where basically it sounded like it was a retirement community, you know, no noise, no lights, no people, nothing, just you know, quiet, and that's okay. But I think the town's changing. Younger people are moving here now, and we're getting families with kids, and I don't know if it's everybody still wants the same things as that, you know, I mean, dark sky lighting. I get calls and emails from people, you know, somebody's making a lot of noise in my neighborhood, and you know, we should have a law against that. I said, well, what time are they making the law? They're what, like mowing their lawn at 10 o'clock, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, this is that's the type of thing you get in a retirement community. It's not a town, it's a vibrant town, you
Well,
know.
it is a market-driven, you know, opportunity. It's, you know, nobody is trying to impose the, you know, that you can only come to Westmore for the purposes of retirement. I certainly didn't.
Yeah.
You know, with my, I have a relatively young family. I may not be young myself, but you know, I, you know, I don't. I think the barriers to doing that are whether or not you can, you know, support yourself out here. You know, with the economy and obviously Wi-Fi is broadband has changed all that. So you do see a lot more younger families moving here, I think. But
I saw a special a couple of days ago, you know, just to study. I think it's a CBS or no, it's PBS, and they do a study on climate change and stuff, and they cover all the program and everything, and they said the safest places to move to in the United States to avoid the consequences of climate change, and it was heat, floods. You know, Vermont doesn't do well with floods. I mean, we've had a lot of damage done by floods. Storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, a whole bit, forest fires. And they came up with the like nine best cities in the United States. They were clustered around Great Lakes because water shortage is a big thing. So there was Cleveland and a few places. Then a few places like in Tennessee, North Carolina, that just they haven't had anything. So weather's not terribly hot and all that kind of stuff. But the only one in New England was Burlington. Great place to live. And so what Burlington's doing, I talked about this a couple of times, is they're building this housing that's like being in New York City. And they're doing it, they got, you know, bottom floor retail, three or four stories of apartments, the street after street. And basically, that is because you can have everything you need in that neighborhood. You don't have to have a car. You don't have to drive. You don't have to do this. And if that's the object is to not have suburban sprawl, just have everybody living outside the city and driving in every day to work or doing whatever they do with their 2 acre lots or 3 acre lots and a big house. So, you know, Burlington has seen that, and this is, you know, this is the best housing we can do to
Or
preserve our
South
open lands.
Burlington and those communities are seeing that, right?
Yeah, what?
That South Burlington, also all the
Yeah.
communities surrounding Burlington,
Yeah.
is where you're seeing that type of growth.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I might I might disagree that you don't need a car anymore, but I mean, you can get around with public transportation better than you can with
Well, you could have a car, but you don't have to use it every day. That's the thing. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live in Burlington again. So
it's
thanks.
Well, no, it's becoming a city. But see, the people that are moving, the ones that are dislocating to another location, are city dwellers. Those are most of the people live in the United States. So that's what, you know, Vermont sees. You know, these people don't want to move into a farm where they, you know, have a big house and they have to drive everywhere to go. And there's no people around. And they don't have parties every night. There's no pub down the street. You know, they don't want to live like that. So they want a gym. They want a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
and you look at the old housing. The old housing was for family, 3 to 5 kids. You know, so pretty big house, 3 bedrooms, yard for the kids to play in. And now, I think most families have half a kid. I don't think anybody's having any kids anymore. You know, so the typical thing, you got single parents, you got couples, childless couples, you have couples with one child. I mean, that's the housing that's being requested.
Well, most people can't afford to buy a house in Burlington these days anyway.
I know.
Those old houses are selling for over $1 million.
Yeah. Well, that's, and the new housing is they're trying to get affordable all the whole rate. But the other thing with migration of any kind, if people are in Phoenix and, you know, they can't stand the heat anymore, they want to move. The first people to move, people have the money because they can afford to move.
Yeah,
you know, they can sell their house and go.
Yep.
And that's so the first influx of people will probably be people with money.
Well, that's been happening for the last several years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Here.
Yeah.
Here, that's been happening.
People are losing their housing because they're renting. It can be sold for that one. I was just thinking with the questions, though, going back to questions, that I think one thing about when you develop the questions is it's also will get people thinking about things they may not have thought about.
Well, that's
so
that's what I want to see.
Do you want an agriculture? I haven't really thought about it. You know, I mean, I think that's part of the reason to do the questions is to not just to get a pulse, but also to get people thinking about the possibilities of the future because people don't think about that.
No, they don't think about that. That's and I got questions from AI that they did it, but it was too complicated. You know, it was like, it wasn't a good question to ask people. It was, okay, here's a good question. Over the next 8 years, how should Westmore prepare for potential population growth? And then there are three ones you should check. One is proactive growth, actively updating zoning to encourage concentrated housing development near existing village settlement areas while strictly protecting rural lands. I mean, that's, you got to understand a whole lot of stuff. That's not a simple question, you know. And the next one is control growth. Keep current zoning as is and let developers navigate state's environmental review process on a case-by-case basis. And then the last one is restrictive growth. Increase minimum lot sizes and restrictions across the entire town and discourage new development as much as possible. That's, I mean, that's...
People are going to look at that and say,
yeah,
I'm filling out this survey.
Yeah, that would be the last question they had.
So, Bob, have you developed questions that
I have,
we can start reviewing? I mean,
I do. I pass these out. And these, I can give you a copy there. Well, there's, let's see, 11, 17, 18, 19, about 25. But what it is I went through Craftsbury's questions, which are good. And then I went through Brighton's survey too. Brighton, it's funny because, you know, they're two different communities by a lot. And Craftsbury, of course, was a lot of questions about affordable housing and creating an environment that supports local and micro businesses, encouraging more people to participate in civic affairs and sustain a vibrant food system. And then
well, those aren't questions, though.
No, they're not, but they're something to ask a question about or to give a list and to say which one of these are most important to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically one to five type of thing. You know, is this important to you or not? That's how Craftsbury did it.
Well,
I didn't like that, but.
Yeah. Well, I think, but I do think we should, I mean, if we really were going to get serious about doing a survey soon, we should cast these in the form of questions.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of want to pick out which ones do you want to do that with, you know? The Brighton survey was different because what Brighton did, Brighton, and I just took some of the questions because they had a lot, and they didn't, a lot of them didn't apply to Westmore. But they approached it from a financial point of view in housing. And they said, what is your housing situation in Brighton? One of the questions they asked. Do you operate a short-term rental in Brighton? Do you have any school-aged children in your home? Will you need to make any major repairs or renovations to your housing in the next 3 years? What's the biggest single cost driver of your housing? And would you ever be interested in creating an apartment in your home as a source of income? So they hit it from a whole different point of view,
yeah.
You know. But I thought those were pretty relevant questions.
Well, and that really speaks to housing issues. You know,
yeah.
The Brighton survey questions speak to the need for the housing. And it sounds like, you know, affordable housing too. But it seems like those are the types of, you could take that sort of approach and do that for these other categories.
Right,
you know,
right.
So that you could ask questions around, you know, how important to, you know, I think just simply ranking things, that's a hard thing to analyze.
It is.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
you can't really objectively analyze that. I think you really need to, have more specific, like either yes or no questions, or, you know, I guess you can try to rank certain things, but I know there's a whole science behind how you apply surveys too, so that you actually get good responses that you can analyze.
Yeah, and that you know, the AI thing I went to gave how to distribute them and to, and you know, how to make them appealing, but I wasn't real happy with it. But they did give some kind of framework of that.
But we should, I mean, part of this is like we should want to. These are the overarching, you know, issues that we want to have, like more clear answers to that can help inform the town plan rewrite.
Right.
It's like these are the highest priority objectives and actions for to increase housing, you know, or to increase.
Well,
you know,
the state objective and what we want to do is to keep housing compact because it leaves open land.
I understand.
We have lots of open land because we don't have much housing.
Cluster housing is that concept has been around for decades.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's what the whole smart growth movement in Vermont
promotes. Right.
I get that. You know, and that's what Act 50 would drive you towards.
But
Act 50 would prevent you from doing a 10 lot subdivision in a 100 acre field where each property gets 10 acres.
Right.
That Act 250 would never allow that.
No,
right?
No.
They're going to maximize the amount of open land, and you're going to say you have to cluster all that housing within 10 acres and leave the other 90 acres open.
Well,
that's what Act 250 does.
Yeah, but that's what we have to, that's what I'm trying to get is a pulse of Westmore. And what do the people of West, you know, a lot because you work for the state. And,
well, but,
and is that, but how many people know that? Like when we make a law, we write the town plan.
But the survey is not supposed to be an educational tool.
No.
Right? You know, it's really not. It's really supposed to provide answers that inform what people really perceive to be the priority issues that we should address in the town plan.
Opinions, on subjects.
How to improve infrastructure, how to improve access to, you know, various services within the town. You know, those are the types of drivers that would increase people's want to live here.
Right.
Is if we increase services in certain ways, and you know, I mean, hats off to you. I mean, I know that you both are like a catalyst for the community with our cottage and, you know, all the activities that are happening here. So I don't need to tell you that, but I just, you know, I feel like that's the type of thing that people really, you know, are going to be interested in.
Yeah.
You know, how does the town plan promote that?
Well, that's one of that ties in again with the idea of leasing pieces of land to get, say, my ideal was to get somebody who has 120 acres and they haven't, they're just retired. They're still hay in some of the fields, but you know, they don't have cows anymore. They sell it, they do whatever. And if they took 50 acres and this is where LandLink could come in, and then they had could build, or I don't know how you fund it, but get a duplex there. Two young families move in, they can work the land. If a young family is not going to support itself on a farm.
Yeah.
But if you have one person working and one person working the farm, that's how people make it work.
But that's your vision, Bob. That's your vision.
Well, that's it. But you know, it's see, I see
that as
a
question. That's not how you develop the questions about the community.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. But, so it seems to me that what you need to do is create a statement about your survey, the purpose of it, so that people understand. Yes, they know we have to rewrite it. It has to be written by a certain time. But why does it have to be rewritten? You know, a little bit of a history. This has gone back. So having a like a little statement.
Moving from a retirement community mindset to preparing for a climate-driven population influx will seriously change Westmore's growth from how you look
but
at how the
opinion.
Density.
That's not.
You don't think
your opinion down again.
What do you mean? What's opinion about it?
It's moving.
Well, we're already moving away from being a retirement community.
We are.
You know?
Maybe.
And we have
maybe.
Young, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
How many kids do we have?
Yeah.
10 now.
Yeah.
But about 12 or 13 little ones, but
12 or 13 little ones, and they want more kids.
I understand.
I mean, so.
So how do we increase services? Like that's, like for instance, my child who's just graduated from 8th grade. She still spends 45 minutes on a bus one way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going over to Evansville. You know, that's not even going very far away.
Wow.
But it's because of how rural those bus routes are. So it becomes, that's an unsustainable thing. That forces me to drive my child to school every day because it only takes me 10 or 15 minutes as opposed to my child riding on the bus for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that people want to understand.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, can we put that in a question form too?
Well, but this is how do we improve the services in Westmore? I mean, right now, just going off on that, right now we have school choice. I mean, you can send your kid to one of you know, half a dozen schools in the area if you want to. But how do you get them there? Like, that's the challenge, you know. So I think that's part of what we want to find out from the people who live here. It shouldn't just be our vision, you know, just of the select few people here. Like, I think that for this, for one thing, I mean, moving from a retirement committee or community and then preparing for a climate driven population. Again, I think that's going to be market driven, you know, that's going to be based on sort of the affordability of Westmore and how much people think that they can continue to be employed and do work and live here, you know, and also have a sense of community. And have a place where they feel comfortable with their kids getting schooled, getting educated.
Well, I think transportation.
That's my idea.
But again, I think transportation is a serious problem in places like this because, you know, it's 15 minutes to get a grocery store, you know.
That's a part of Reagan economics that I always appreciated was having, you know, things more decentralized. And I think that's where you're going with agriculture. You know, we want to have more local sources of agriculture. I agree with that. We're trucking things from all over the freaking world to get here. You know, we need a better model than that because that's unsustainable.
How about, I mean, I would like to see a question just is, what do you think about food security? You know, do you think that we might have a problem with food security in the next 8 years.
Right. So, you know, your questions are, you know, do we live in a food desert? Do you think we live in a food desert? You know, in other words, how far does it take for you to go to get food? Are you going to go to the CNC? Do you support your local CSA? You know, how do you go to get your food? Can you afford to go to Westmore, the Willoughby Lake store and buy food? I have no disrespect meant at all to Andrew, but I wouldn't buy my groceries there.
No, we
unless
don't.
You can't afford to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
I actually have a neighbor across the lake who the only way that he can go to the store is if he kayaks across the lake when he's here in the summertime.
Is that right?
Because he can't drive.
Yeah, that's part of the transportation thing. And then, you know, that's
probably comes up across my beach.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You get a few of those.
Yeah.
Do you? People come across to do their shopping, get ice cream.
Ellie's grandkids come up to get the ice cream.
Yeah, I used to do that as a kid.
All right, so
I just I'd be happy to, you know, take a crack at some of these, but I really think that casting these in the form of objective questions, I do think that having kind of a more I think we need to lead into the survey that says we have to rewrite the town plan. It's our strategic plan for the next, I don't know,
it's 8 years.
How long do we say, 8 years?
Yeah.
You know, it's really more like 8 to 10 years, given how long the planning process takes. But, you know, this is meant to be a strategic plan that we want to try to, we want to identify actions that we want to try to implement. Because if we have things written into our town plan, then we're more eligible to receive grants and funding to do those actions.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where it becomes important. Exactly. You know, it's important, the strategies and actions that we identify here, because we can then pursue funding. You know, it's like Peggy's idea of, you know, wanting to create bike and ped lanes along 5A. I know that sounds like a really unviable proposition, but it would be an important thing for, I know, a lot of people if we actually made that happen.
Yeah, I think both of these towns had something about them making.
Chris has a question.
Hmm?
I think Chris has a question.
Oh, Chris, yeah.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Can you explain, so I can put it in my article, why you need to write the town plan now, at least from your perspective, and where you're at in the progress? And I would like to have a copy of that survey. And who's the survey going to? Is that residents, taxpayers?
Yeah,
because a resident might not be a taxpayer.
There is no written survey yet.
There's no written survey.
We're trying to figure out.
We will send it to the property tax list, because we have
owners of property.
Owners of property.
They are the taxpayers.
I'm sorry?
They are the taxpayers.
Right.
They may not be resident. They may not be full time residents.
Yeah, because we have such a large population of part-time people here.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So. But I didn't know if you had tenants in the town for. I mean, do you have people who rent? Do you know that?
Yeah.
We don't have a list of that though.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
But it's gonna. But the survey's gonna go to the taxpayers.
It's hard to get to everybody. We'll send out postcards to the taxpayers. We will probably post on a front porch forum. We'll put it in our email. We'll put it on our Facebook page, or the Westmore Association Facebook page, probably. But the survey is available.
Local social media,
and we'll keep copies in the clerk's office available.
But we're also required to do meetings, in-house meetings.
Yeah, after
which will come later.
Are you early on in the progress, in the process?
We're in the process. We're actually overdue to renew our town plan, but we're working with the NVDA to do that. It has to be renewed every 8 years, and we're 2026. We should have a new one. So that's what we're working on. We're working with them. Of course, they got real busy because, you know, they based all their regional plan on Act 181, and of course, now they got to modify everything because.
Right.
So that's why we're taking more time now too, is because we went through the whole process, but then with 181, there's a lot of it's not relevant anymore.
Is that state statute that you have to do it, or is that NVDA bylaws, or
it is
state statute? It's chapter 24, title 117, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, we
117.
We have to reflect the regional plan, and the regional plan reflects the state plan.
Right, so, regional plan is done by NVDA.
Yeah.
I mean, at least for this area.
Yeah.
Well, town plans are supposed to adhere to the regional plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Worry, I mean, how long have you been working on it?
2 years.
And you hope to have it done this year?
We'll get it done this year.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll submit it in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's we have, you know, that October kind of, in September it opens up, and, you know, we've got to get in by October.
Gotcha.
So,
okay. All right. Thank you so much for your patience.
Yeah, no problem. So how do you want to handle working on the questions? You want to just submit them.
I just have to imagine, and I know we talked about this at our last meeting, but I know that there's more examples of surveys out there related to town plan rewrites. And I did, and I thought, did you ask Allison Lowe at NVDA if
I
there are other
have. She
examples?
sent me the Brighton and the
Oh,
Crownsbury.
really?
Yeah. That's where I got that.
Okay.
And then I got one from Gemini just to see what they would say. And they were too complicated and it wasn't, I didn't want them. So those are the ones I read
Because I would just propose that, the bigger sort of themes here are good ones. I think that I just wonder how much, some of them may be overlapping, some of these, but that's where I think we have the sort of the themes, the categories, and then sort of the questions that relate to that category. But I don't see anything related to like economic development here.
There's a few questions in there. It's create an environment that supports local and micro businesses as for the Craftsbury one.
Oh yeah.
And then, Brighton actually, a lot of their questions I eliminated. They had, 50 questions, 40 questions, and I'm down to six. But a lot of those were, where do you do shopping? Do you go to Island Pond to do your shopping? Do you own a business in Island Pond? They had a lot to do because they had a village center and they wanted people using the village center. So we don't have that, so I eliminated all those questions.
So and some of this too might be information we can get from like the most recent census, but like even just having demographic information would be useful. I mean, I imagine we could, probably come up with like,
Listers have some information like that, for rentals
yeah.
and
When was the
stuff.
last census done? Was that 2020?
So.
That was 2018. It was amended in 2020.
Yeah.
It was yeah,
So.
so it last
Yeah,
the
because
official one was 2018, so
it's every 10 years, right?
8 years. 8 years. It
The
used to be five.
census?
Oh, not in the census. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the town planning
I'm talking
board.
about the census.
Okay.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
think that's 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
every
Okay.
10 years.
Yeah, I didn't know
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
So I mean that would be helpful too to get census information. You know what else then? There's other tools out there that would help with that. There's the Vermont Department of Health has what is it? It's a mapping tool that actually gives you a lot of that demographic information already.
Do agents
It's,
like
well, no, it has more to do with, well, I made it probably is related to age, but it has a lot to do with like your economic status. I think that there is some information there around, whether or not your town is considered to be like a food desert. It's the something sustainability index, the municipal sustainability index. There's something like that with the Department of Health has a it's a mapping tool where you can pull up all kinds of information on your town.
We could ask Jen about Jen will probably know about
Oh
that.
yeah.
Jen Willard.
Oh
We could
yeah.
ask her
Yep.
about it,
Yeah.
get the information.
Yep. That might be and that might help inform the survey questions also.
Right.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know. Because that may just, point to some of these, where are the gaps really in our ability to provide services, and how can we, translate that into some actionable items in the town planning.
What's tied with that too is that if we increase housing and we increase population, we increase tax base, which,
Yep.
more tax people we have, the more services we can provide. And that's.
And the other thing that we hear complaints about is that, we get a lot of tourism, but we don't make any money off of
I
it.
know.
Oh.
And how can we do something about that? I mean, it's Westmore is a wonderful town,
John
but
Zimmer's working on that, but it's really tough because
it is really tough.
we don't have the infrastructure for I mean, we don't
But
want like a big hotel.
In a way, it's building resilience within your town, but it's that it's not just environmental resilience, it's economic resilience, it's kind of just the strength to build capacity within your town to continue to build community and provide more services.
A lot of the questions I eliminated were dealing with, hazard mitigation, which your town does, and flooding prevention, are they doing culverts? We do all that stuff. I'm doing a real good job with all that stuff. Are you retrofitting your town offices for more energy efficiency? Well, we just did that. So I didn't put those questions in here, because.
And that's a great point that you bring up, because where are we spending a lot of money that we could help minimize or mitigate? And I know that, and North Beach comes to mind. We spend an enormous amount of money there, and we don't really get much return on that, other than we provide a community service, but it's not anything that we gain any revenues from.
It's not necessarily for our community either.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you want to? I'm just thinking, if you're talking about the themes, would it be helpful to just identify the main themes
Themes.
first of all, and then go
Well,
from there?
that's, Craftsbury did the sense of community, support shared values, and commitment to natural and environment. Those are the three themes that they had.
But that's really a hard thing to define
I know,
in the
I
town
didn't
plan.
dump
It
into
should,
it because, yeah. I
I mean,
didn't.
that's all sort of fuzzy, and it's not necessarily objective. Like, I understand it. Like, you want to promote these things, encourage these things. I get it, but how do you do it? How do people agree would be the
And what do they
priority
have to back
strategies?
to get the services? Not what the service is, but what does town have to do to get those services? Right? Okay. Yeah. That's a good way to approach it.
I mean, some of the things
I
that
don't, and I really don't want to go over 10 or
are,
12 questions. That's
no.
the thing.
I
Well, but
wonder,
you want them to be easy to analyze too.
that's it. Yeah. I want them
I
to
mean, you
be.
could have a couple open-ended questions where you're trying to receive more specific feedback, but I mean, in
Mostly.
order to get like more of a yes, no, like the survey results said that, 70% of their population support, these things,
Yeah.
and therefore they should be more heavily weighted in the town plan.
What I tried to stay away from too is to say that, here's four things, what's the most important to you? And then you put, quality of our water. I mean, then, that's gonna everybody gonna check that one
It's
off. This is
well, and
very
that's been well
important.
documented. I mean,
Yeah.
nobody wants bad water quality, I
Yeah.
mean,
Yeah.
even
Hopefully not.
just seeing the North Beach get posted for E. coli is,
Yeah.
bad enough.
But some of the things that you mentioned, you guys have mentioned, is I'm just thinking they are kind of clustered under getting people to live here. So what are the most important things? Is
Well,
it
it's
food
not.
security? Is it housing? Is it schooling? Is it transportation? There's
Well,
those
I think, yeah,
main
and I think what we're
things.
really talking about is not how to get people to live here, but the kind of housing they'll move in and what kind of people are moving here.
Yeah.
I don't want people buying houses
Yeah.
and making short-term rentals out of them.
Right.
That's
Yeah,
it.
you
We
want to.
want young people. We want people who are
But
concerned about conserving the land. We want people who,
those again, but those, if that's your interpretation of people's ideals, but how do you get at that? How do you ask those questions,
Well, that's the last question. The last survey that was done, I think it was only five questions. And it was like, do you agree with dark side lighting, dark sky lighting, or, do you want the town to be quiet? Or, there were questions like, was noise a factor? And it was very limited, but there was only like five or
Well,
six
but people
questions.
are not going to want to have bright glaring lights at night, I don't think,
No.
or loud blaring music all night. So I don't even think that those should be questions that we necessarily ask. I mean, our bylaws already get at that. That's like
Well,
a bylaw
we
thing,
don't
right?
have a law on lighting though, but and it's not really a
Well,
hard one to
well, it's
do,
a policy we put into our
It's a
conditional use
policy. Yeah.
determinations,
Unless we
correct?
put at the end of
Yeah.
our
Ordinance.
hearing conclusions, recommendations is that, we'd like to keep dark sky lighting. So we make it a condition of the permit, but it's not enforcement.
No, I hear you. I understand that.
And that's the same with, we do that with repairing buffer zones too. We said you're allowed 6 feet. Please try to direct all water away from 6 feet to the water. Try to direct all runoff through a vegetated area rather than down the path,
Right, and there's already state laws and regulations about that, but that's more of an educational thing too. It's not necessarily a survey thing, but I do think, of the services in town, what do you think, you know, is really missing? We have some home-based occupations here, and that's all fine and good, but are they necessarily providing, you know, services to the people who live here? Some do, probably, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that...
Well, I don't think there's a possibility we're going to have a school and much more.
Well, we have a bunch of old little schoolhouses in the dog.
I know.
Hey, I can tell you, there are some of those...
I know, the mamas all want, they want to have their kids go to a local school, yeah. Mm-hmm. How many kids we got? 13 now?
That's just the little guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it. You know, the next 5 years, we get an influx of 10 families with 12 kids. You know, maybe we'll have 25 kids and we'll have a little school.
So, yeah,
you know.
Well, we just had a family who bought a house here a couple of years ago. They actually got a CUD from us 2 years ago, and they just moved up here from Boston full time.
Yeah.
And they have two little kids. So that's, it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. It's definitely happening. I mean, you know, Pam sees these young families. So
well, the only Rollins family's moving here full time from Maine.
Oh, yeah, they're, right.
They're,
yep.
They're moving here.
Yep.
They've got one little one, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jen's got a good finger on that pulse.
She does. Yeah. And I know, and she also had her own survey.
The survey was good too, and it was designed just like, easy to collate, but still open-ended questions. It was a good survey.
Right.
Good return.
No, and maybe, I mean, maybe she'd be willing to help us out a little bit.
I think she would.
Yeah, because she'd get a different perspective of what to ask, too.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be helpful with
young
the
mothers,
format, and I think she'd get the responses she needs.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it around. I'll send it via email, but this Department of Health, like Municipal Sustainability Index, something that might be helpful for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would be on your agenda for your next meeting? Do you have a...
I would like
to... Can
you
pinpoint something specific to get it accomplished?
Yeah, I would like to have some categorized questions.
So general categories?
General categories.
Not the questions yet itself.
Well, I'd like to have the questions too.
If
we can get enough questions, then just select the ones that we think are more. I would like to get it done next meeting.
And I think developing questions that, what would we do with the answers, you know,
exactly.
That would be important.
Yeah.
Like, how can we analyze the answers so that we can actually, you know, do something with that?
Right. I wrote down what will be accomplished from the survey.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah.
There's lots of parts of the town plan that are fine. So
yeah, there are.
To update. Make it relevant for our time now.
The basic premise of us doing a survey,
according to
what
to
we've been
NVDA.
Talking about, NVDA, is to get the pulse of the town, of what they want the town to look like in the next 8 years.
But some people don't even know what the old town plan looked like. You
no,
know
they don't.
Sense.
And that's, you know.
So that's, don't have to.
No, they don't have
to. No,
we'll try to get the questions to be that.
But planning can
identify
the things that are more questionable or not updated.
Yeah, and
that's what you're trying to figure out, I think.
The other thing that we should think a lot about is if we want because here too, the town plan, there's like crosswalk between the town plan and the zoning bylaws.
Yep.
But if we like have enabling language in the town plan, that would also speak to us being able to develop parts of the zoning bylaws, if that's what we wanted to do.
Well, we have to do that in some cases, because like, I forget what act it was now, but when they changed the ADUs, accessory dwelling units, they changed the laws, and you have to go by those laws.
Right.
You know, kind of law.
The 190, I forget.
Yeah, you can have...
The accessory dwelling,
900 square feet.
Yeah.
Is the minimum,
right?
You know, you can do.
But that's the and that's the type of thing that would be a good action to have, is to encourage. You know, how should we encourage that? I mean, I don't. And this is another kind of loaded question. Like, you know, do you feel like that it would be appropriate to have a lakeshore zoning district in Westmore?
Well, we've talked about that a lot.
I know we've
yeah.
talked about that
because it, you know, you hate treating somebody up in the mountains like a guy on the water.
You
yeah,
do,
the
but except that, you know, a lot of our lots are. Our postage stamp lots, and I mean, that shouldn't prevent, you know, them from being redeveloped. But that's come up as like that's a really big pressure point for a lot of Vermont lake towns, because you're seeing these teeny little cottages that would just be used for 2 or 3 weeks out of the year become year-round houses. And it's not to say it's that's kind of the wrong, that should be a different focus, but should there be, you know, a different standard so that, you know, I don't know. It's a loaded question. I mean, there's going to be minimal.
Well, we're pretty generous with that, I think, because we allow 50% increase in square footage, and we also have the law: if you don't get any, make the violation worse, then you can build. I mean, that's pretty liberal.
Well,
The state will come in on a lot of that stuff and makes it
but
pretty.
this is but yeah, and but this is where it gets tricky with like the neighboring property owners, because like our decision here at Foster's Grove North, you know, that ruffled a lot of feathers with turning a one-story camp into a three-story house
Year-round
that
house.
impacted people's views and, you know,
Lifestyle.
yeah.
Transportation on a one-way road, parking. You know, there was a
It
lot
changes
impacted, a lot.
it changes the nature of the neighborhood.
It did. It changed
Yeah.
the neighborhood
Well,
complete a lot.
we you know, we during
But
that hearing, we said you can't do that. And then he would go back and build it right to the limit of what he could do. Yeah, I know. It was like, and he,
And you can't, you know, you can't blame people for wanting to do that,
yes, they
because
had the right to
that's
develop the property, but
they
yeah.
do, you know, that's why they bought the property, but it really does change the character of our neighborhoods.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I do wonder about that, because that is something that we have in our town plan, you know, and that's sort of some of what our bylaws speak to. And I, you know, you're right. I don't know that you know, you don't want to create an uneven playing field. But there's a way more difference in development pressure happening around the lake than there is up in the
Well,
hinterland.
it's gonna continue to, you know, more than, because yeah, people are still going to develop the properties.
So
Yeah, I
how
think
do you get the rest of your people here to help you with this? You know, I mean, you have a board, and
well,
is there?
we post the date. I
I
emailed
understand
them
that.
the week before,
I
and then I
understand
sent them a
that.
text a couple days
Looking
before,
at the agenda.
and then I sent out the agenda,
Right.
and you know.
I think we
That's,
need to encourage them to make it a priority to be here.
yeah.
Well, why don't we, you know,
Well, we
we
do
have
have a
to.
rule, so, and I don't know if we made it an official rule or not, but we've kind of enforced it as 75%
Attendance.
attendance. You know, I mean, otherwise, as you say, you might want to be on the board, but you really don't have the time to do it, so.
You know, we have some ideas for the next meeting. You should send us out as an attachment so that the other members get it, and then say that this is what we're trying to do with the survey by our next meeting.
I mean,
So.
can we legally exchange questions by email,
Absolutely.
even though it's
Yeah.
not a open
It's
meeting? As long as we
ab
discuss them.
absolutely. This is yeah, this
It's
is
not
a
going to be voted on,
it's
so you should be
yeah,
able to do
it's
that.
just and it's being used for planning purposes. We're not writing a permit decision or something like
Right.
that.
So
So
we're
if
not meeting as a group, we're just sending out
it's
ideas.
not ex parte communication or anything like that.
Yeah,
You
good.
know, yeah.
It'd be good to get as much done as you can so you
And we can do
talk
emails,
together
yeah. Yeah.
next time. That would be great.
If anybody hears anything or gets a site that's really good, or you can share, you know,
Or
we
just
can.
I'll share that this Department of Health website and you can
I'll send the Vermont Land link to, it's part of UVM. And it's just because if you look at what they do, it's really pretty good.
There's a couple of new programs. Like I'm familiar with LandLink. It's been around for a while. There's also the Farmlands Futures Fund. There's a few other programs that are newer, you know, that really are geared at younger farmers. But you know, they exist out there.
There's a group, it's out of Keene, New Hampshire, but they have a New England representative or Vermont representative. And I tried to get reached out to them a couple times and I haven't heard, but I'm sending to the main website and I got the name of the guy who's in charge of Vermont, so I'm going to try to get in touch with him. And he also, they basically try to hook farmers and landowners up together and, you know, figure out finances and
The I
arrangements and
mean
stuff.
part of the I mean as you I don't need to tell you this, but I mean just the way the market forces are right now, it's just so tough for farmers, you know, just the price of milk and Obviously, the price of feed, price of everything,
fertilizer, diesel.
gas, diesel, everything is just skyrocketed. I mean, you have to donate your a kidney and a half just to afford, a used tractor. It's just so tough to get into, farming and make that economically viable.
Well, it
So.
is very difficult. But if there are scarcities, we have Strait of Hormuz opportunities all over the world. Then, if there's shortages, then the prices of farmers can charge more and make a living too. So, but that's guessing the future, but possibility. So, all right, let's share as much as we can online. See if we can straighten this stuff out. Yeah, we've talked about NOFA before. Okay, yeah, we did the survey questions, open discussion. So, getting kind of late. So,
We have to approve the minutes.
We do have to approve the
Oh,
minutes.
yeah.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Thank you.
A second.
All in favor.
All right. Bye.
Okay. We adjourn the meeting at 7:37.
Still early on these long days.
7:37, isn't it?
Oh.
So usually I pick you up.
That's all right.
One thing I did. Are we done electronically?
Turn off the Zoom.
There's one thing I
Okay,
haven't.
close the meeting. And
Goodbye.
excuse me.
Put down your recordings. There you go.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. Oh.